Which person is under the most pressure for all 32 teams? That's the focus of today's TDN Daily. And welcome in to the Wednesday edition of the TDN Daily Podcast. Chris Schuber back with you here once again on the show. Hope you are all having a fantastic start to your Wednesday. We've got a fun one in store for you here today on the show. We are discussing the person under the most pressure for all 32 NFL teams. We're going to go team by team here, so this should be a lengthy one. I know there was some rumors floated around. I don't know if I mentioned it on the podcast. I know I definitely mentioned it in the post show yesterday that we were going to probably dive into the 2024 quarterback class here on the show today. Opted against that, and I told everybody in the pre-show this, but I do want to share it with the podcast audience as well. If we did those shows this week, I'm not going to be here at the start of next week. I'm going to be out Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday next week, going on a trip. We'll actually leave on Friday. There'll be no shows at the start of next week, so I didn't want to start what feels like a pretty big series for us here on the show. Obviously, with this being the Draft Network, discussing the draft feels like a very important thing, and I didn't want to start that series, do it for 2 or 3 days, and then have almost a week in between when we get back into it. So to have a cleaner runway, to be able to just go through it and do it in the at the pace that we want to do it, in the order that we want to do it, and to not have any interruptions other than potentially the weekend, I wanted to just move until I got back, because after this vacation that I have coming up here starting this weekend, I'm going to be back in this chair unless I'm sick throughout the remainder of the football season. So I wanted to just make sure that we had a clean runway for that. So that's going to start next week. But we do have a fun one in store today on the show. Thanks to our guy, Taylor B. Very, very good idea that he shared. And he's a loyal member of both the YouTube chat and the TDN Premium Discord. And that is where he shared this topic with me about going through all 32 NFL teams and picking one person. Could be a coach, could be a GM, could be a player, could be anybody, any member of the organization that finds themselves under the most pressure for 2023. And I have my list here, and I will tell you I have a name listed for all 32 NFL teams ahead of the 2023 season. And we are going to go through all of them. Shout out to my guy Trevor Joseph, who comes in with the wee-woo of all wee-woos, telling me that the creamsicle jerseys are back for 2023. That is a wee-woo that we are here for on the show. Very, very excited to see that the creamsicle jerseys for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are back for 2023. They're wearing them in week 6 against the Lions, apparently. That's a big win for the jersey community. That's a big win. So we're going to go through this. I have names down for all 32 teams. I have one person that is selected. There are some that I have question marks next to that I'd like to like for us to discuss and debate and potentially change the answer to. And the important thing to mention here at the top before we go into this is, for me, when doing this, one of the more important factors in determining whether or not somebody was going to make this list and whether or not they fit the bill of somebody that had the most pressure is they had to have something material to potentially lose. And I'll give you a very, very specific example. For the Denver Broncos, you might say the answer is Russell Wilson. But I don't think there's any pressure on Russell Wilson because he's got his new contract. He's not going anywhere. They're not going to cut him. He's got millions of dollars coming his way. And so for me, it's tough to say that there is pressure on Russell Wilson in comparison to other people in that organization on that team. And so I didn't pick Russell Wilson, but I'm just using him as an example. Now, I will tell you, there are some teams in which we are picking somebody who maybe doesn't really have a material thing to lose, but they're the person with the most pressure because I couldn't pick anybody else. And you'll see those teams as they come through. And if there's a better option that you guys can suggest and can convince me, I have no problem changing the answer. My guy Taylor B is here. I was going to be upset, Taylor B, if you were not here for the show that you inspired. I've already given you credit in both the pre-show and on the show here at the start, but it would have been a little bittersweet if we did this great topic and we had fun, but you weren't here to be a part of the fun. So glad to see you here on a Wednesday for the show. So without further ado, let's get into it here, because we've got 32 teams to discuss and 32 names to go through. The Arizona Cardinals will be the first team up. Yeah, you know, Taylor B, you know what? It's a great point. Let's give Taylor B a round of applause here. Round of applause. Take a bow. Do the royal wave. You take a victory lap here. That this show is totally because of the idea that you threw out there. Colton says, also Russ is terrible and no other team's trade for him, so pressure is not the greatest for him. Right. There's no risk, really, on the other end of the math equation for Russell Wilson. The Arizona Cardinals, the first team up here. And it's funny because if you did this list a year ago, it would probably be pretty easy. You would probably pick Cliff Kingsbury. You would probably pick Steve Keim. You would pick somebody in the power structure of the Arizona Cardinals that has overseen this team maybe not reaching their heights. But we've got a new GM. We've got a new head coach. These are guys that are both entering year one of their head coach GM tandem. They're in Arizona. There's no pressure on those guys. There's no pressure really on Monty Ossenfort. He's not going to lose his job if they only win three or four games this year. He's got a plan. He's got two first-round picks. He's building towards the future. He knows what he's got to do. There's no pressure. There might be pressure on Jonathan Gannon to impress, but they're not going to fire him in year one. Taylor B says Cardinals were the toughest for me. I went the low-hanging fruit. It's Kyler Murray, the guy with the most pressure. Because whether or not it's in his control, this might be his last year in Arizona. And he's coming off of a major injury, so he's got to prove that he can be the player that he was pre-injury. He also needs to play well enough to either justify the Cardinals keeping him or play well enough to where another team is going to want to acquire him, because he's kind of in this weird purgatory where I don't know if Arizona wants to keep him. I don't know if Arizona wants to move on from him. I don't know what teams would be interested in acquiring him. There's a lot of question marks around Kyler Murray. And to maybe add a little bit to the pressure barometer, he's going to have a limited sample size in order to do it. It's not going to be a full season. Now, Bailey has a great suggestion, and I don't hate it. If you wanted to put him down, that's fine, and that's Marquise Brown. They did make the big move for him. There's no DeAndre Hopkins. He's probably the wide receiver one in that room. And so if you wanted to pick him, that would be a totally reasonable selection. I went with Kyler. Kind of felt like the low-hanging fruit, but also an opportunity for us to talk about Kyler and the future quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals. Once again, like we apparently always do every day on this show. For the Atlanta Falcons, our first, and I will tell you, there's a lot of quarterbacks and head coaches on this list. Just want to get out in front of that. I tried to find balance where we could find it, to find a GM or to find a different position or to find a coordinator. I tried. So I did my best to try to have a very diversified list here. But I will tell you that the overwhelming majority are quarterbacks and head coaches. Rightly so. Those are the two parts of a football team that generate the most buzz, that generate the most attention. When you're looking at a football team, you look at the quarterback and the head coach, right? That's just what you do. So for the Atlanta Falcons, it's got to be Arthur Smith, right? The head coach of this team. They've invested over the last couple of years. Their last three first-round picks have been a tight end, a wide receiver, and a running back. And all of those picks have taken place inside the top 10. They have invested in an offensive infrastructure. They have not invested in getting a long-term answer at quarterback with a top draft pick or with cash. Desmond Ritter's their guy going into 2023. In a division that is starting to become wide open because Tampa is on the decline, New Orleans probably the favorite, but don't rule out the Falcons there. Bailey says, I think my take for the Falcons might be the GM Terry Fontenot. He has drafted skill players over quarterbacks the last few years. He has made aggressive moves this offseason, have to win. That's fair, but I ask you this question. And this is where I lean towards the head coach more often than not. There are two teams that have their GM on this list. There are two teams that have their GMs on this list. If things go south here in 2023, are they both getting fired? This is not a rhetorical question. I'm legitimately having a conversation with you guys in the chat. Are both guys getting fired? Are Fontenot and Arthur Smith getting fired? Or is it just going to be Arthur Smith? I don't know. I lean towards it probably is just going to be Arthur Smith. Now, you might be right, Bailey, that Fontenot might go first. And then if that's the case, then he's the right answer here. Because, and again, with all these teams, there can be more than one answer. With Atlanta, you could say it is both Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot. We need to pick one person that's under the most pressure, so we're going to pick Arthur Smith, but Terry Fontenot is not a bad selection either. They are a team that has spent a ton of money this year. They are going to try to turn it around. They want to turn it around very quickly. They're in a division in which they can do it. But to me, if things go south this year, I think the head coach is going to go before the GM. The Baltimore Ravens. It's not Lamar Jackson, right? Because he just signed the new contract. He would have been the perfect answer a year ago if we were doing this. Playing on the tag or looking for a long-term contract. Hasn't gotten it. He's got to go out and play really well. There's pressure against an injury, all that stuff. He would have been a perfect answer in 2023, in 2022. He's not the perfect answer in 2023. I don't think it's the head coach. I don't think it's John Harbaugh. I don't think it's the GM. They've got a really nice structure that they have there, and they found success. Taylor B., you hit the nail on the head. It's Rashad Bateman. That's the answer. He's our first non-QB head coach here for this list, but it's got to be Rashad Bateman. But see, Taylor B., the thing with Todd Monken is there pressure on him? They've already signed Lamar. If it doesn't work in year one, they're going to give him another year. They're not going to fire Todd Monken after one season. So there's pressure to like get off to a good start and set yourself up for success so where 2024 isn't a huge decision point for you. But Todd Monken's probably in his job next season, more than likely. I don't want to say it's totally unlikely, but I think it's pretty unlikely. So with Rashad Bateman, look at this wide receiver room right now. Odell Beckham Jr., I know he signed a big one-year contract, but it's coming off a major knee injury. Zay Flowers is a first-round rookie. Rashad Bateman was drafted to be the top option for this team in terms of wide receivers. He was brought in to be the top option alongside Mark Andrews in the passing game that Lamar Jackson threw to. Hasn't really been there yet. And if Zay Flowers emerges and Odell plays really well, Rashad Bateman might start to phase himself out of a future in Baltimore. So for me, Rashad Bateman, the option there in Baltimore. The Buffalo Bills. You just signed the GM and a head coach to an extension. Multiple year extensions. They can't be the answer. Can't be either of those guys. I don't really want it to be the guy that I selected. But if this player isn't able to take the team and break through and finally reach the heights that we think this Buffalo team should have reached over the last couple of seasons, it's got to be Josh Allen. And Taylor B. says it correctly. This one I went with Josh Allen for a legacy perspective. That's where the pressure comes for Josh Allen. There's no risk of a contract. He signed a big-time deal. There's no risk of them moving on from him. And this is one of those things where we talked about at the beginning of the show that for some of these guys, the risk is that they might not be in their current situation after 2023. But for some, it doesn't work like that. And Josh Allen is the exception to that rule. Because I think if Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills do not break through in 2023, if they don't win the division, if they don't make a deep playoff run, if they once again fall short in a championship game and don't go to the Super Bowl, the things we're going to say about Josh Allen, the way we're going to change our opinion about Josh Allen hinges on 2023. Bailey says if his defense didn't collapse in 13 seconds, he would be viewed so differently. But despite that being unfair, he needs to win something this year. I partly agree, Bailey, right? If the defense doesn't collapse in 13 seconds, it's different because they break through and they go to a championship. But that doesn't mean they win one. And that resume will still lack a Super Bowl. I'm here to tell you, he's not my selection for Cincinnati. But Joe Burrow is approaching that point as well. The difference is he's been to a Super Bowl, so maybe he gets a little bit of a longer runway on this. But Joe Burrow is trending down the similar path as Josh Allen because he has not won a Super Bowl. So, yes, if the defense doesn't collapse in 13 seconds, it's a little different, but I don't know if it's totally different. So from a legacy perspective, it is Josh Allen. Carolina Panthers. And I will tell you, there are a couple of teams on this list that fall into the bucket of Carolina, where when a team completely hits rock bottom and they reset in so many different areas, and they basically hit the bottom of the pool and their feet hit the ground and they're starting to come back up to the surface, right? They're on the ascent. They're on the bounce back. It's hard to pick somebody that's under massive amounts of pressure on a team that's got a whole new coaching staff, that's got a rookie quarterback, that's completely starting over, that has completely hit the reset button. It's hard to identify somebody that has a ton of pressure. I found one person that I think fits this list. Now, our resident Carolina Panthers fan in the chat, Sports Nut, says J.C. Horn, if he gets hurt again for a third consecutive season. I hear you. I went Terrace Marshall Jr. Gives me another opportunity to talk about a guy that has got all the opportunity in the world, has got all the talent in the world to be a number one wide receiver. Now, without DJ Moore, the opportunity is all his. I know they've got Adam Thielen. I know they drafted Jonathan Mingo. But the opportunity has never been greater for Terrace Marshall to finally break through and be the player that we thought he could be coming out of the draft. And so for a guy who's, what, in year three of his career, this is the opportunity. This is the make or break season for Terrace Marshall. He was our projection for breakout candidate for all 32 teams. We picked him for Carolina, but he's also the guy that's under the most pressure. Bailey says, I think Frank Reich. He was brought in to be a great offensive line. They spent loads on the staff there. Need to look competent in year one. I think they will, but there's some immediate pressure. Bailey, do you really think David Tepper would fire Frank Reich after year one or ask for a meaningful overhaul to the coaching staff? I get what you're saying. It's all the buzz. Everything this offseason was made offensively, right? I get what you're saying. They hired Frank Reich. The offensive coaching staff has been put together really, really well. They traded up for the number one overall pick to get a quarterback. They have to look competent. I agree with you 100%. But again, when it comes to pressure, I don't know if I can get there. The Chicago Bears, the next team up for us to discuss. It's Justin Fields. That's who it is. He's entering year three. They have to see massive improvements from him passing the football. We know what he can do running the ball. Need to see improvements with him throwing the football. They've put a better structure around him. This is a new head coach and GM combination than the one that drafted Justin Fields. And so if he doesn't take a material stride here in year three, I could see the Chicago Bears, now equipped with two first-round picks in 2024, if he does not play well, they could look to replace him. Now, if he takes a huge step, no problem. But what we're looking here today on the show is who's under the most pressure for each team. It's not the GM entering year two after the deal he just pulled off in the draft. They're going to give him the runway. It's not really the coach, although I think we're trending in that direction if he has another year after what was last year. I don't know if Matt Eberflus is super safe, but it's Justin Fields. Because if he plays the same way that he did in 2022, they might move on from him. Sportsnet says if Fields does not improve this season and they have a top five pick plus another first, everything you guys want to say about the Arizona Cardinals, you should be applying to the Chicago Bears. Everything you want the Arizona Cardinals to do when it comes to their multiple first round picks and drafting a quarterback, you should be applying to the Chicago Bears if things go south. Taylor B says, I think the Bears would be insane to do it, but you're right. Are they insane if he doesn't play well? If he plays and makes marginal improvements and looks better than he did last year or takes a massive leap, then yeah, they'd be insane. But if he doesn't really improve or they struggle, I don't know. I would like to have the conversation. If I'm Ryan Poles, I'm not the GM that drafted him. And so am I going to stake my GM career, my first GM job, am I going to attach myself to a guy that in the 2 years that I've been here hasn't made the improvements that maybe I've wanted to see him make, and he's not the guy I picked in a draft class, which we're going to talk about here pretty soon, that we think's pretty good at the quarterback position? And listen, for those of you who are believers in Fields, like Taylor B says, yes, I agree. If you're a believer in Fields that he's going to eventually develop, I get it. I understand the point. But just look at it from Ryan Poles' perspective. Put yourself in his shoes. He didn't pick the guy. He didn't pick Justin Fields. Is he going to attach his reputation? Is he going to attach his livelihood, his job security to Justin Fields when he didn't pick him? And in the 2 years that he's been there, he maybe hasn't seen the improvements that he wanted. Again, we're going to let the year play out. We're not going to make any statements ahead of time. But for the person under the most pressure, it's Justin Fields. The Cincinnati Bengals. I think I have an interesting name for you guys. You are a very smart football audience. You tend to align with me pretty similarly on some of these things. And so one of you might mention the player that I'm thinking. I thought I went a little outside the box with this pick. Not super outside the box. Don't get me wrong. I didn't pick like an offensive lineman or anything. But I think I went a little outside the box with this pick when it comes to who's under the most pressure for the Cincinnati Bengals. I went with wide receiver Tyler Boyd. We see some people in the chat saying Daxton Hill. Colton said Tyler Boyd or Joe Mixon. Love all these answers. I think they're all great answers. The reason for Tyler Boyd being under the most pressure, and let me know what you guys think about this argument, is we know the Cincinnati Bengals are going to pay Ja'Marr Chase a lot of money. They are going to pay him as much money as maybe Jamar Chase wants. And SportsNut did a fantastic job. And if you're a member of the TDM Premium Discord, you can go in there and look at it. Because we had a post-show conversation yesterday talking about the wide receiver market this upcoming offseason, both from free agency, from extension, and how I think we are in line to see a massive overhaul of the money at the wide receiver position in the National Football League in a good way for the receivers. Like, I think the money is going to get weird this offseason. So he a great breakdown in the TDM Premium Discord of all the wide receivers that could potentially be available or names that are going to come up for extensions over the next couple of years or this offseason that could change the landscape of the position. But when I look at Cincinnati, they're going to pay Jamar Chase. I think that's a fair assumption. I think they're only going to pay one of Tyler Boyd or T. Higgins. I think we could all sit here today and say T. Higgins probably has a leg up on Tyler Boyd. I think T. Higgins would be the favorite to be re-signed by the Cincinnati Bengals over Tyler Boyd. So for Tyler Boyd, this season is very important because he can play really, really well and force Cincinnati's hand and say, I'm better than T. Higgins. I'm the guy you should be paying instead of T. Higgins. Or he can play really, really well and he could parlay that into a massive payday with somebody else. But if he doesn't play particularly well, it makes Cincinnati's decision all that much easier. And does that change the market for Tyler Boyd this offseason? And so that's why I picked him as a player to be under the most pressure for 2023. We know they're going to pay Jamar Chase. It's who they're going to pay after Chase at that position that's up for grabs. I think right now I would lean T. Higgins, but it's up to Tyler Boyd to be able to change their mind. And so that's why he's the player that I said is under the most pressure for 2023. Colton says, if I'm Boyd, I'm leaving Cincy. I mean, it's Joe Burrow, man. How many great... I get it. You're going to get paid probably a lot more money someplace else, but opportunity to play with Joe Burrow and have basically a year, every year, an opportunity to put up the best numbers of your career and potentially play for a championship, that's tough to pass up. Bailey says, Boyd can be a bigger feature elsewhere. He will be a top name next year's free agent cycle once everyone else gets re-signed, if he plays well. That's why he's under, I think, the most pressure. The Cleveland Browns, the next team up for us to discuss. We've got a lot of teams left, and we're 22 minutes into the show. I think we're going to set the record here today, folks. I think this is going to be the longest show in TD and Daily history, so buckle up. Hope you got your drinks ready to go. I got to take a sip of water because we're not going to make it. So, I've seen two people already say it in the chat that they've selected Deshaun Watson. Folks, Deshaun Watson has a fully guaranteed contract from the Cleveland Browns. What pressure is Deshaun Watson under? It does not matter how poorly or great Deshaun Watson plays. All that money is fully guaranteed. They are never going to cut Deshaun Watson. They are committed to Deshaun Watson being their quarterback. If there is somebody who is under pressure to get this right and figure this out, it's Kevin Stefanski. And so that's why my selection for the person under the most pressure for the Cleveland Browns in 2023 is Kevin Stefanski. Because if this doesn't work out, let's say they miss the playoffs, Deshaun Watson ain't going anywhere. They'll make a change of head coach. See, that's the thing. It's always going to be somebody other than Deshaun that will get moved or they'll move on from because of the fully guaranteed contract. So if they don't play well this year, if they don't make the playoffs, if they don't break through, it's going to be on Kevin Stefanski. Bailey says the most in cash, traded for Watson, haven't progressed much the last few years. Oh, by the way, folks, this community, this show, me, all of you listening in the podcast audience, listening in the YouTube chat, this community together, when we did our roster rankings for 2023, viewed this Cleveland Browns roster as a top 8 roster in all of football while grading the quarterback room poorly. Don't forget, we had this as a top 8 roster, and we graded the quarterback room poorly because of the way Deshaun Watson played in 2022. This community, and I'm in there as well. That's how much we believe in the rest of this roster. So if they don't play well, it's going to be Kevin Stefanski. It might be Andrew Berry. I know some of you guys have mentioned him in the chat as well. It might be both. I put Kevin Stefanski down. You wanted to put Andrew Berry down? That's fine too. But that's where I think the most pressure lies for the Cleveland Browns. Dallas Cowboys. Are we doing every team today or splitting this into two shows? We might be splitting this into two shows at this pace. How many teams have I done so far? I've done 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We've done 9. We're going to try to get through them all here. We're going to try to get through them all. We'll push ahead. For the Dallas Cowboys, it's not the GM. It's not going to be the GM there in Dallas. No pressure on the GM there. Look, I think this is the low-hanging fruit answer again. We've had a couple of those so far. I have Mike McCarthy down. It just is. Like, it's just Mike McCarthy, okay? If this doesn't work out, they're going to just move on, and they're going to find a new head coach. Bailey has it correct. They talk about firing him every offseason. Like, if it doesn't work out and they maybe miss the playoffs or they go to the playoffs and don't win a playoff game, I saw a stat, and let me see. I'm gonna attempt to try to find it pretty quickly. I saw it on the NFL subreddit. I think it was yesterday. I'm going to try to very, very quickly find it again. But the basic gist of the stat was that Dak Prescott he's lost every playoff game he's played in, right? And he's had a minimum of like 3 starts in the postseason, right? And like the only other player that has had as many starts as Dak has had in the playoffs and hasn't had a win was Tony Romo. Like it was some stat like that. That they are the only two quarterbacks that have a minimum number of games in the playoffs but don't have a win. I'm trying to find it because I think I'm butchering the stat a little bit. So just give me a second here while I try to find this because I think this stat really kind of emphasizes what's going on here. If I can't find it, we're just going to move on here pretty quickly. But Mike McCarthy is the answer here. I think the only person that doesn't think about firing Mike McCarthy every season is Jerry Jones. I mean, at some point, they've got to break through, right? We talk about the Bills breaking through. At some point, the Cowboys got to break through. We've been doing this for a really, really long time. Jones is pretty loyal to his guys, 100%. And he's also not one to fire midseason. We've talked about this. We talked about this when we did the show of most likely to get fired in season. I found the stat, by the way. Dak Prescott is one of 5 quarterbacks in the Super Bowl era to start 3 or more divisional playoff games and go winless. So Dak Prescott, one of 5 QBs in the Super Bowl era to start 3 or more divisional playoff games and go winless. The last quarterback to do that was Tony Romo. The Cowboys are the only franchise with 2 QBs to play in 3 or more divisional round games without winning one. That says everything that you need to hear about the Dallas Cowboys and how things have not gone their way. So Mike McCarthy under the most pressure for Dallas. The Denver Broncos. I have an interesting name here. I think I thought about this one a little bit. Bailey says Broncos is probably the GM, new owners, that rush traded, no playoff berths, tough to survive if they don't have a good season. Sean Payton will take more control if needed. Bailey, you couldn't have said it any better than you couldn't have said it any better. That is exactly what I was going to say, or at least close to. I was going to attempt to say it. I have GM George Payton down for the Denver Broncos. He's the guy that did the rush trade. He's entering his second season as the GM. We've got new ownership. We've made a major head coaching hire. If things don't work out at the end of 2023, if they are, again, a third-place team in the division, if they are, again, a team that does not make the playoffs, Russell Wilson's not going anywhere. Sean Payton's not going anywhere. A power struggle will emerge, I think, and Sean Payton will win said power struggle, and George Payton will go, and either Sean Payton will take full control, a la Bill Belichick, or it'll be a situation where, like when Adam Gase was in New York, the GM that's put in there was selected by the GM, and really the GM is in charge. Kind of similarly to the way Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch operate things in San Francisco. You've got a guy in Payton who could be GM head coach. Exactly. And so if things don't work out, that's how it'll play out. The Detroit Lions, the next team up. I have Jared Goff down here, folks. I think this is a huge, not a make or break year, but I think this is a huge year for Jared Goff. Because if he continues to play well in this offense, I think he's going to get himself a big-time contract with either Detroit or somebody else. I think if he breaks through and continues to play really well, then Detroit's going to reach heights that we haven't seen them reach in a really long time. But if he plays poorly, do they give him the long-term contract extension? Do they start to invest in a long-term answer at quarterback with a top draft pick because the rest of the roster is going to be ready to go. And so I really think 2023 is a very pivotal year for Jared Goff and figuring out whether or not he is part of the long-term future in Detroit. He has served very well so far for them. He has been a very, very good bridge quarterback for them. He might be a bridge quarterback that gets them to the playoffs this year in 2023. If he does, I think they'll keep him around. If he doesn't, what kind of questions are we going to ask in the 2024 offseason about the Detroit Lions and their quarterback situation? Bailey says, Goff is either the guy for them or they are aggressive next year. They make that decision this year. Also, probably last year of Ben Johnson, who we all think is good. Oh, we think Ben Johnson's more than good. We think Ben Johnson's great. I think Ben Johnson's one of the best offensive minds in the game right now. So for me, it's Jared Goff. I'm going to lump the next two names together. Green Bay and Houston. Because they're both quarterbacks, and I hate the answer for both. I have Jordan Love for the Green Bay Packers, and I have CJ Stroud for the Houston Texans. With Jordan Love, this is it. This is your opportunity. You're under the most pressure because you've finally been given the reins at quarterback. You have finally taken over for Aaron Rodgers. It is your time to shine. And I know they just gave him a small extension, so he's not at risk of being moved on from at the end of the year. But you got it. We talked earlier about hitting the ground running. I think it was about Frank Reich in Carolina, about hitting the ground running very well in your first year at a new place. For Jordan Love, I think there's an immense amount of pressure to hit the ground running and to be an effective quarterback for Green Bay in year one since he's been given the job. For Houston, that's such a low-pressure situation, it's hard to pick anyone. That's why I pick C.J. Stroud. He's under the most pressure because he's the quarterback. I don't love it either. But who else are you going to pick? Taylor B. says Nick Caserio. I think we've seen that they're not going to move on from Nick Caserio. But again, I don't love the answer either, so I'm not going to like harshly defend it. Bailey says, I think Will Anderson. If you're going to pick Will Anderson, how can we not pick CJ Stroud? It's the same thing. It's a first-round pick. I'll tell you, I don't like picking anybody. They might have given up a future top five pick for him. Okay, guys, they didn't trade up for Will Anderson. They traded up for CJ Stroud. I know mathematically the way it looks. They picked Stroud first and then they traded up for Will Anderson. But that's not really how it worked. They traded up for CJ Stroud. I just want to make it very, very clear that that's not exactly, you guys, I understand what you're saying, but that's not exactly how it played out. They did not really trade up for Will Anderson. They traded up for CJ Stroud. Think about next offseason, the narratives around that trade if Anderson is bad this year. But again, I don't know. Are we sure? Legitimate question. Are we sure that if Will Anderson is bad, that people are going to look back on the trade? Because I can see the nuance of it. I know they took Stroud first and then they took Anderson. But they took Stroud second. They took Stroud second because they just wanted to make sure nothing funny business happened. If they didn't think any funny business was going to happen, they would have taken Will Anderson at two and traded up for the pick at three. So it doesn't matter. They made the trade for CJ Stroud. They just picked them in a specific order. That's the difference. Stroud or Caserio is the pick. I'm going to go Stroud. You can say Caserio. I don't love it. I don't love either one. I thought about Derek Stingley too, Heldy. I thought about him. It's an interesting candidate. If the Texans end up with the second pick, which goes to the Cardinals, and Anderson looks awful, it's a lose for them. So if Anderson looks great and Stroud looks bad, it's okay that they gave up the pick? Is everyone going to be okay with it? I don't think so. I think it looks bad regardless. For Indianapolis, I picked Anthony Richardson. Okay. I don't know. Don't ask, because I don't have a good reason behind it. I just picked two rookie quarterbacks. QBs get more time, Chris. That's fair. I understand that. For the Colts, it's either the whole O-line group or Shaq Leonard. Shaq hasn't even really played under his new deal, and Indy has found linebackers to fill his role well. Ballard gets a fresh leash. Jonathan Taylor, can he stay healthy? I mean, listen, Jonathan Taylor's got a guy. We're going to give him more than a season. I didn't even think about Shaq Leonard, but I'm going to change it to Shaq Leonard. That's a good shout, Heldy. We're going to move it to Shaq Leonard. Okay, the Jacksonville Jaguars, folks. I think this is the, where's my guy Taylor B at? This is the easiest answer of all time. this is the easiest answer of all time. You take the card and you run it into the podium on this one. This is easy. This is an easy selection for the person under the he's a player. The player under the most pressure for the Jacksonville Jaguars in 2023. There's one guy. It's really simple. No, Taylor Beat is not Cam Robinson. Sports Nut, ding, 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 you're the winner. Go. We're going to show you off stage. You can collect your prizes. It is Calvin Ridley. My guy's out for an entire year because of a suspension. He's a free agent at the end of the year. My guy's got a one show that the year off didn't hurt him. He's got to play really well to get a new contract. It is Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley is the answer for the Jacksonville Jaguars player under the most pressure for the 2023 season. For the Kansas City Chiefs, you want to talk about a team that it was absolutely impossible to pick a player for. This team just won the Super Bowl. What am I supposed to do with this team? I pick Kadarius Toney because he's got his fifth-year option coming up. No, Cam Robinson is not a bad shout, Taylor, but yes, I think it's just slam dunk Calvin Ridley. I pick Kadarius Toney because of the fifth-year option conversation. And if you can't make it work with Patrick Mahomes this season, after you get traded there in the middle of the year and you play pretty well, I think that's going to look very poorly. It's going to be a poor reflection of you. So I pick Kadarius Toney. Okay, we've got the Las Vegas Raiders, the next team up. And I don't think it's Josh McDaniels, because I don't think they're going to fire him because of the money. It's not Jimmy Garoppolo, even though I'd love to make him the selection. I pick Josh Jacobs as my pick for the Las Vegas Raiders, because I think it's more likely than not, as we sit here on July 12th, that Josh Jacobs will be playing the 2023 season under the franchise tag. I do not think a long-term contract extension is going to be worked out, because I'm not really sure how up for a long-term contract extension the Las Vegas Raiders are. So, with that being said, Josh Jacobs is probably going to play the 2023 season on the tag. He had a pretty good year last year, a year in which if he ended up being a free agent and they didn't tag him, he would have absolutely gotten a ton of money in free agency, I think, relative to the running back position. He's basically going to be in the same situation this year. It's a lame duck year. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. Are the Raiders really going to tag him again? They're going to tag him twice? So no, I think this is a year where he's under the pressure of he's got to continue to play well so he can get that long-term deal. I hear you on Chandler Jones SportsNet. I just think Chandler Jones is just, I think it's over for him. I just think he's past his prime. For the Chargers, I think it's very, very simple. It's the guy who's the thumbnail for the show today. It's Brandon Staley. You brought in Kellen Moore to run this offense. I think you made an upgrade in your offensive coaching staff. You've got Justin Herbert as your quarterback. You've got great players all over the place. This team is completely all in for this year in terms of dollars. They're like, I think like $60 or $70 million in the hole for the 2024 cap next season. They're all in. If this doesn't work out, Brandon Staley ain't going to make it. And I think he's more likely to go than Telesco. So it's obvious to me that it's Brandon Staley. The next team up to discuss, the Los Angeles Rams. I would love to see what the chat thinks about this, who they have as a selection here. Because it's none of the likely candidates, right? You're not picking the quarterback. You're not picking the head coach. I don't think you're picking the GM. Like, you're just not picking any of those guys. So who are you picking? Because you're not picking, I think, one of the popular easy answers to go to. I've got my answer. SportsNet, it says Matt Stafford. Not going there. Not going with Matt Stafford. I went with a guy who I think has an opportunity this year to either emerge as an option, or he is just going to be cast aside and viewed as a guy who didn't reach his ceiling. That's wide receiver Van Jefferson. My selection for the player under the most pressure for the 32 teams this season. SportsNet says, didn't the Rams try to shop Stafford this offseason? Yes, they did. Reportedly, they tried to shop him. But he's won a Super Bowl. Is he really under pressure? Like, they gave him money and an unproven left tackle, and he got hurt. Joe Nobu. Fair enough. That's a fair candidate. I got Van Jefferson. I see some people saying Cam Akers. I think they're all great. Heldy with the greatest take of them all. Their roster is so buns that it just doesn't matter. Yes, that's how I feel. If I could write that down for this answer, I would. The Miami Dolphins, the next team up. I think this player is a guy that is more than likely in the long-term plans for this team. But I don't think it's a certainty. And I thought he played well in 2022. But he got hurt. And he's been hurt a lot in his career. And the answer for this is Tua Tagovailoa. It just has to be. It has to be Tua. Can he stay healthy? Because if he cannot stay healthy, I think this, if he misses any time this year, the discourse in the 2024 offseason surrounding the Miami Dolphins and whatever potential quarterback options could be available, whether it is via the draft or whether it is via a trade or free agency, I think that noise is going to get very, very, very loud if Tua gets hurt and misses significant time. If he misses four more games again, I think we're going to have a very, very interesting offseason when it comes to the Miami Dolphins and the quarterback position. For the Minnesota Vikings, I selected Alexander Mattison. Finally getting into that role as the top option in Minnesota with Dalvin Cook on. Only has one more year on his deal after this one. So he's got to play well if he wants to get a long-term deal. He's going to be, I think, 27, 28 by the time his deal runs out in Minnesota. So if he plays well, he'll probably still have some tread on his tires, some juice left in the tank to be able to give Minnesota a couple more years. So he's got to play well, and he's got to start now because he's going to have an increased workload. I'm skeptical. I don't know if it's going to happen. If you listen to Prospects and Props, you will know how we feel about Alexander Mattison over on that show. That it's a question mark. But here's an opportunity. Here's an opportunity to step in and be the guy. So Alexander Mattison's selection for the Minnesota Vikings. For the New England Patriots, you could put Mac Jones down here, and I wouldn't hate you for it. I've got Bill Belichick written down here for the New England Patriots. Maybe that's me just kind of being a little hot takey here on the show today. But I've got Bill Belichick written down. Because I wonder if things go south, if there's not some level of discomfort from up top, from Robert Kraft, to make a change in the structure that New England has. And that could mean bringing in a general manager. That could mean saying, you know what, Bill, this isn't working. Do you want to retire gracefully so I don't have to fire you? I think there's going to be some level of change to the power structure in New England with Bill Belichick running both the GM and head coaching operations. So I have Bill Belichick listed down here. For the New Orleans Saints, I think it's Dennis Allen. He's entering the second year since taking over for Sean Payton. I think we look at this and say, if this doesn't work in year one with Derek Carr, they're not going to move on from Derek Carr. They'll probably make a change at coach before they'll do anything else. Mickey Loomis isn't going anywhere. He's going to be the GM for as long as he wants to be there in New Orleans. So we've got Dennis Allen as the selection. For the New York Giants, as we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 teams left to go. For the New York Giants, and this is a player who I have a question mark next to their name. Because they're an answer right now, but it could change in the next 5 days. I have Saquon Barkley down here for the moment for the New York Giants. Because if he does not sign a long-term extension and has to play on the franchise tag at some point in 2023, whether or not he misses games and he chooses to sit out, whatever the case may be. If he does not sign a long-term deal, then he's the player under the most pressure in 2023. Because he has an injury history, he's coming off a really good year, he wants to get that long-term contract extension. That could all get resolved in the next 5 days, and that's because that's the deadline that they have to sign the contract, a long-term contract extension. If they're able to do that in the next 5 days, then he's not the answer. But for the moment, he has to be the answer. So I have him written down here. For the New York Jets, this is pretty simple. It's Joe Douglas. You've taken over this team. You haven't had a winning record in either in any of the years that you've been the GM. You push all of the chips in the middle for Aaron Rodgers and for going for it in 2023. You have to have success in 2023. It's Joe Douglas. Joe Douglas is the person under the most pressure for the New York Jets in 2023. It's not Aaron Rodgers. It's really not Robert Saleh, even though I think How many wins does he need this year to be safe? He's got to make the playoffs. So whatever number that is. If the Jets miss the playoffs in 2023, Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh, I think, will be gone. It will be 3 years of Douglas and Saleh together without making the playoffs. It will be 4 years for Joe, because he had the 1 year with Adam. It'll be 4 years of not making the playoffs for Joe Douglas. It will be 13 seasons since the last time the Jets will have made the playoffs. It is the current longest streak in the four major professional sports, the Big Four. It's the longest streak of not making the playoffs in any of the sports. It will increase for 13 seasons. They have to make the playoffs in 2023, or I think Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh are both gone. Heldy, you still here? You still in the chat here, my guy? Because I got an interesting name here for you for the Philadelphia Eagles that I want to run by you. Because, Heldy, my guy, yes, that's the guy. I wrote down defensive coordinator. He's the only coordinator we got on the list. I have Sean Desai down. Yes, this is the answer. The offense is going to do its thing. You've got Nick Sirianni running it over there. But you lose Jonathan Gannon. This is a very, very important year for him. And yes, I agree with you that it could be one and done. Agreed 100%. Heldy, I wasn't sure if you were going to like my take there. As you can tell, I'm very, very excited that you and I agreed here and that you thought the same thing as me. Because you can't pick a player. The team's awesome, right? Team's just amazing. Won the NFC, MVP candidate. You can't pick anybody. You can't pick a player. You can't pick really anybody on the offensive side of things. You could pick the offensive coordinator, but we all know Nick Sirianni runs things over there. So I went with the DC. You've got too much talent, and if it doesn't work out, if you can't figure it out in year one, I think you're going to make a change. So we've got him down for Philadelphia. For Pittsburgh, I got Najee Harris down here. There's a fifth-year option looming. If he doesn't play well, I wonder if they punt on that fifth-year option and just move on. So we've got Najee Harris written down here. For San Francisco, I have another coordinator. I forgot. I have a second coordinator on this list at some point. We've got five more teams to go, and there's one coordinator in here. For San Francisco, I agree on Najee, but how is it not Canada? Anthony, you're correct. The fact that they won't fire Matt Canada tells me that maybe he's not under pressure. Because he should have gone last year. Now, you may say, we changed quarterbacks in the middle of the season. We went with a rookie quarterback. And so now going into this season, if it doesn't pan out with a full season of Kenny Pickett, then we can make a change. I hear you. I understand that argument. Bailey says, we all know what Canada is like, though. He has no expectations, so he can't be under pressure. I mean, I don't think that's fair. I think the idea of pressure here is there... what opportunity could be lost here? And for Matt Canada, there could be pressure to lose his job if things don't go well. So I hear you. And Matt Canada is a fine answer. I think he would be on the short list for me, but I went with Najee Harris. Okay. The player that I selected, and it is a player for San Francisco, I think it's unfair. I think it's unfair to put this guy down because I don't know if he's going to have the opportunity to take matters into his own hands. I have Trey Lance written down because this might be it for him. But do we all sit here and truly feel that Trey Lance is going to have an opportunity to change the narrative surrounding him? That's the thing that holds me up from having him as the answer here. He's written down, but he's got a question mark next to his name. Taylor B says, okay, sorry I had to take call after the Rams. What teams did I miss? I'll give you a quick run through. The podcast audience is going to love this. We got Tua for Miami, Alexander Mattison for Minnesota. We've got New England, Bill Belichick. For New Orleans, it's Dennis Allen. Giants, Saquon Barkley. Jets, Joe Douglas. Philly, Sean Desai. Pittsburgh, Najee Harris. And for San Francisco, we're discussing Trey Lance. Bailey. If you were betting right now on where he starts the season, Chris, QB1, QB2, or QB3? It was my thought that he would be in a battle for QB1 with Sam Darnold if Purdy wasn't healthy, but that I thought the edge would go to Darnold. But I thought they were going to give Trey Lance every feasible opportunity to beat out Sam Darnold and be the QB1 with Darnold as the backup. That's how I thought it was going to be going into the 2023 season. We're getting a lot of reports that Brock Purdy might be healthy enough to play week one. And so if that's the case, I don't know how Trey Lance isn't the QB3 on this team. You've got Brock Purdy, your established starter, who was very good for you last year, led you to heights that you didn't think you were going to get to when you had to put Brock Purdy into the game. Sam Darnold is a veteran QB who's going to understand the offense. I think it's an offense that's really good for him. And I think that's where you give the edge over Trey Lance, a guy who hasn't played a ton. So for me, I think it's going to be QB3 because Brock Purdy's going to be healthy. I think if Brock Purdy's not cleared for week one, I think they're going to give Trey Lance every opportunity in the world to beat out Sam Darnold here in camp. Do we feel comfortable enough, though, to make Trey Lance the player for this answer? Because I don't really know what player to put instead. I don't love it, but I guess we'll leave it. For Seattle, I saw Sportsnet say Geno Smith, he has an out in his new contract after 1 year if he does what he did last year and reverts to old Geno. I have Shane Waldron down, the offensive coordinator, but I don't hate the Geno pick. I think when I look at this offense, Shane Waldron's entering what's going to be, I think, year three for him as the offensive coordinator there in Seattle. And if their offense, which was kind of sputtering towards the end of last year, right? They were not very good in the second half of last season. If they don't play well offensively, and Geno kind of reverts to the mean, I'm not disagreeing with you, Sportsnut. Geno might be gone, but I also think Shane Waldron might be gone too. So I have him down because I think he's under more pressure. Because I think Geno will get picked up by somebody else. Will Shane Waldron go someplace else? I don't know. And the last three, I think are potentially they're among the easiest to discuss. For Tampa, it is head coach Todd Bowles. Need I say any more? Is that okay with everybody? That Todd Bowles is the answer for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? I know it's not fair because he's going to have Baker Mayfield or Kyle Trask as his starting quarterback, but I just don't see a scenario where if this goes south, that they just don't completely hit the reset button. For Tennessee, I have it as Ryan Tannehill. He's either going to play well enough to get this team beyond where we think they can go, and he's a free agent at the end of the year, and he's going to be able to find a place that's going to want to bring him in as a bridge or a veteran QB, or he's going to flame out, and this is probably going to be it for Ryan Tannehill. I don't think Mike Vrabel's under any pressure. Maybe it's Malik Willis as an answer, but I got Ryan Tannehill written down here. And for Washington, the last team on our list, I have head coach Ron Rivera as the answer for Washington. They basically already have his replacement on staff in Eric Bieniemy. They have another guy in Jack Del Rio as head coaching experience. If they don't want to go the Bieniemy route, they might fire him in season if things don't work out very well. You're going to have new ownership that's going to come in at some point, right? Is that deal actually finalized yet? And so if things don't work out, the new owner might say, okay, appreciate you, Ron, but I got to go in a different direction. I got to start things the correct way with a new coach. I got to hit the reset button. So I got Ron Rivera. People want to make it Treylon Burks for Tennessee. You've convinced me. Doesn't take much, but we're at the end of the list, though. I'll put Treylon Burks down instead of Ryan Tannehill. So there you have it. Officially the longest episode in TDN Daily history, and we have selected one person, one member of the organization, under the most pressure for all 32 NFL teams. Let's everybody, if you're listening to the show in the podcast feed or if you're joining us here in the YouTube chat, let's give a massive round of applause to our guy, Taylor B., who came up with this idea. And Taylor B., your idea spawned the longest episode in TDN Daily history. So give yourself a round of applause. Take a bow. Great work out of you for this suggestion. Was a super fun project to put together. Was super fun to have this conversation with you all. And I can't wait to do more of this stuff because anytime you guys suggest something, I have no problem giving you guys the credit and we can have the conversation and do the show. I've got zero issue with it. It's what we're doing here. We're building the community. It's a lot of fun. So this was a very, 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 very fun project to put together, a fun list. So great job to you, Taylor B. Take a bow, round of applause to you for the work that you have done by suggesting this topic. But that is going to do it for us here on this edition of the show. Appreciate you all being here. Please rate, review, subscribe to the podcast, share the show. We greatly do appreciate it. It helps us build this community. Again, if you want to be a part of the show, you can be the Taylor B next time. It could be your idea that we're doing on the show next. Join us over on the YouTube side of things Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time is when we do the show. We've got two more shows this week, so you're going to want to come back and see us again tomorrow. If you can't join us live, you want to watch the video version of the show, you can do so. The Draft Network YouTube channel, you can click the live tab. All of the VODs are there. We would greatly appreciate it if you gave the video a thumbs up. That goes for you, those of you in the live YouTube chat right now. Give the video a thumbs up. Comment, turn on the notification bell so you know that when we go live or drop a new video, we would greatly appreciate it. But that is going to do it for us here on the Wednesday edition of the podcast. Hope you all have a great rest of your day. We'll talk with you all tomorrow.